Thank you, Lord. I was listening to a short testimony, a clip of Mario Murillo today when he was, I don't know if anybody saw that or heard his testimony when he was starting out, and he's always had a real heart for evangelism and soul winning, and he was in a place where he was doing all these meetings and spending all this energy, and he said that nothing seemed to be happening, and he was just at the point where he basically said, "Oh, that's it, I quit. I'm going to go." He had a job lined up. He was going to do something different, you know. So while he was kind of pacing the floor, he set up in his room where he was staying at a conference center at the time. He got a call from a high school buddy he hadn't heard from in a long time. And apparently he said, according to him, he's a real jerk. And he had given him a hard time the whole time after Mario got saved in high school. Was constantly just jeering him and picking on him about his Christianity. Well, this brother calls him and says, "Hey, I just wanted to share with you. I'm born again now. I'm a child of God. And I've got," I think he said, 14 drug addict gang members down in the lobby here. And he hadn't heard from this guy at all. I mean, it's like, and he said he was throwing the towel and he was done. And he says, and it was like 10 minutes to 11 at night, and they had until midnight, I guess. So he went down, and God poured out his spirit, you know, and he said every one of them gave their heart to Jesus, got born again, spirit-filled, you know, and delivered, he said, too. And but, you know, sometimes, you know, we can be right on the brink of a miracle before, you know, God's getting ready to do something. We can be ready to throw the towel in. We got to be careful that we don't abort something, amen, prematurely. And we have to, we have need of endurance. We need to persevere. We need to be patient in the process. And that's not always easy, but by the grace of God, we will overcome. And God knows that we need Him, and we should know that too. And we need to rely upon the grace of God. It's not always about how I happen to feel at the moment, you know. And just being faithful, being consistent, holding tightly to the Lord through it all. We learn to trust in Jesus, and the Lord comes through. I find, you know, there's times when I may be struggling with just some stuff in my own personal life. And I mean, sometimes just some thoughts, you know, dealing with thoughts. And the enemy is trying to beat up on me. And I have to take those thoughts captive, you know. But I also know that whenever the enemy does stuff like that, it means something good is right on the horizon. God is getting ready to do something good. And so I always hold on to that in hope, knowing that, yeah, that's what's going on right now. That's what it seems to be right now. But we need to remember, just like Israel, you know, that there is an oasis up ahead. Amen. We got to get through this time of bitterness and know that God has provided a refreshing for us. Amen. On our journey. And we look forward to those times of refreshing, right? From the presence of the Lord. And so thank you for coming tonight, regardless of how your body was talking to you and all that, maybe tired or, God's good and He has something for us, doesn't He? Every time we come. And you know, He wants you to be a part too. He wants you to be able to invest in the lives of others. Amen. And look for the opportunities. There is fruit. And there's low-hanging fruit. We've got to be looking for it. Amen. And I get to do a Zoom prayer meeting on Wednesdays at the nursing home over here. And so I can't go in like I used to, but we've been doing Zoom prayer meetings. That's been pretty awesome, actually. And so they kind of like seeing themselves on, you know, on the screen. And for some of them, it's like their first time, you know. Yeah. And I always say, smile, you're on candid camera. And they get a chuckle out of that. But God's been working through that, you know. And I'm just, it's very spontaneous and just staying open to allow the Holy Spirit to work and to use me in that, you know. Nothing canned or pre-planned. And it's been good. It's been refreshing. But there are opportunities, you know, if we're looking for them. And in fact, if I want to, I can be so busy. I don't have a spare minute. Square minute? Yeah. Anyways, yeah. So, but we want to also be about our Father's business, not just our business, and asking God to bless that, but finding out what He wants us to do. And but there are opportunities, and they are there. And if we would ask the Lord to direct us, you know, we don't have to look for the big thing, the lofty thing, just sometimes the simple things of life. God is in that, you know. And even ministering to one another outside of these walls, amen. And paying attention to what the Lord is directing you to do in your daily, in your day, interceding, praying for someone, calling somebody, encouraging someone, you know. I'm thankful for cell phones. They can be a blessing and a, well. But, you know, I'm thankful for them because I'm able to keep better contact, actually. You know, an instant contact in a lot of cases. And I get people that contact me on the cell phone that don't go here. You know, I minister to other people, too, outside of here. And God has been opening up doors with that. And, you know, so if you ask, you know, say, Lord, I want to be used of you. Open doors, opportunity for me. Show me where I can be a blessing, you know, with what you've given me. And we don't have to think more highly of ourselves or, you know, it doesn't have to, like I said, to be the greater, the lofty or the visible, necessarily a visible thing, but just whatever God's doing, you know, partnering with Him in that. So, yeah. And I find that, you know, it's true. I don't know maybe you know where the location of that is, but he who waters shall himself also be watered. He who waters others be refreshed, yeah. In Proverbs 19 somewhere, yeah. So, yeah, there's your reference, Proverbs 19 somewhere. Yeah, so, yeah, something, 19 something. But, you know, do you find that to be true when you engage, you know, and being a conduit for God, amen, whether it's through prayer or intercession, speaking, doing, helping, serving, blessing somebody else, you know, you receive as well in that. You know, it's whatsoever man sows, right? That's Shelley also. It's what is 11:25? Proverbs 11:25, all right. So anyways, I've got the recording going now, and I'm going to ask if you guys would hold off until the end so Robin can get it put together and presentable to put online, because otherwise it ends up being a dead spot, okay? So does anybody have anything, though, that they'd like to share, something that's really pressing right now? Why don't we pray right now for Debbie Richardson, her husband Gibb. And let's join together. Father, we just lift up our brother and sister to you tonight. Holy Father, we ask for your divine intervention there in that situation, that you'd pour out your grace upon them both. Father, you know what they have need of right now, and we ask you to supply that need according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. May your kingdom come and will be done, Father God, in this couple. Bless them tonight. Refresh them by your Spirit. Encourage their hearts, Lord. Fill them with hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So thank you, Jesus. Well, tonight we're going to do part 4 of our study of Revelation. And we're going to continue focusing on the 7 churches in Asia Minor. And tonight we're going to be talking about Smyrna. And, you know, while we do this and while we go through these different churches, we want to be able to examine ourselves, you know, in the process. The question is, where do I stand today with Jesus? Where do I stand with Jesus today? And where do we stand as a church? I like to know that. I try to examine us in light of the revelation here, and especially as the Lord had addressed each church. I think it's a full revelation of what the Lord expects, you know, from His people, from His church. If you can study these 7 churches and really get an understanding of what pleases the Lord and what doesn't please the Lord, amen? Do the things that please Him and avoid the things that grieve Him, amen? So how do we stand as a church body, amen? And how do I stand as an individual before the Lord? So we're going to look again at this is the church that was under persecution, Smyrna. And this period was from 100 A.D. to 312 A.D. And they were suffering great persecution because of their faith. And their works that were performed in the name of Jesus brought this great tribulation. And also, as a result of their testimony, they were in great poverty. And however, they had great riches stored up for them in heaven. And James 2:5 says, "Listen, my brethren, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him?" So there should be no distinction among us. Amen. We're all brethren, no matter where you're at in life. But I have found this to be true, that sometimes the people who are the most dependent on the Lord are the richest in faith. Amen. And so usually people come to the Lord because of a need. You know, I know I did. And I had to know I had a need before I would come to the Lord. So God knows how to get our attention, doesn't he? To let us know what our need is and where our lack is. And the Lord gave me an awakening. I was almost going to say a rude awakening. Maybe it was. But it was an awakening. And all of a sudden, he took the lid off and exposed everything. And I was for the first time seeing how wretched I was, how miserable, how blind, how selfish I was for the first time, and how I'd been treating and mistreating my family, thinking, and Judy was just a little girl at that time, but I thought, in my own estimation, I was all right. I was a pretty good guy, you know, but others knew differently, and I had to know that I wasn't so good after all, and I thank God for that. Because I came to the Lord in time of need. I knew that I needed mercy. I needed his forgiveness. I began to fear the Lord for the first time, really fear the Lord. And I was afraid for my soul. Have you ever been there? You've been afraid for your soul? You're saying, God, I don't want to go to hell. I was aware that that's exactly where I was on my way to. God in his mercy reached down and touched me, removed the veil from my eyes, let me see my own wretchedness and my need of his cleansing. And I cried out to Jesus and he cleansed me. And so people come to the Lord out of need. And you know, throughout history, churches and God's people that have been under persecution have generally been also in revival simultaneously, because it's caused them to draw near to God, to rely upon the grace of God. And I remember reading a book from Dumitru Dunaman from years ago, this Romanian missionary evangelist, who said that they had to rely upon the Holy Spirit, you know, every day, because it could cost them their life if they were not careful. And they didn't navigate by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, because they were smuggling Bibles into Russia. And he worked with Richard Wurmbrand. And so they were, you know, many of their fellow brethren had been caught and had been, you know, they were tortured and they were imprisoned. And they were persecuted pretty severely. Some of them even put to death for their testimony and for the testimony of Jesus. But he said that, you know, in this situation that the distinctions between the churches and the denominations were so trivial. It didn't matter anymore. God's people started to really get together and say, we just need Jesus. We just need God's help. Amen? And they didn't care if they were Baptist or Pentecostal or whatever. They were just God's people crying out for mercy. Amen? And for help. And God moved in powerful ways and opened doors and sent angels to help them in different places. And often they appeared as men, you know, sometimes as a soldier, you know, that would open the way for them to load up Bibles onto the trains so they could, you know, go across the border into Russia. And before they would go into Russia, they had to change the wheels on the trains because they were either wider or narrower in Russia. So they had to change them out. And during that time is when they would often load up, you know, and get the Bibles on board while they were stalled there and doing the changeover. So Anyways, very interesting. And this is going on across the world right now, you know, in different places. Many of our brethren are paying the highest price for their faith in Jesus. Now, the word Smyrna means myrrh or bitterness. And myrrh was a plant that was needed to be crushed. It had to be crushed in order to release its fragrance. And you know, that's often how it is if you think of ourselves as being an olive berry, you know, in the hands of the Lord. And as we are pressed, as we are squeezed, sometimes crushed, then the fragrance of Christ is released. And it's kind of like we are naturally very stubborn, obstinate people, you know. And God has to take us through that process of breaking and preparing, amen, us to be yielded, humble vessels that He can release His life out of. And so, you know, if you look at a seed, Jesus used the example of a seed, a corn of wheat falling to the ground and dying. He says, if it dies, it can produce a harvest. Amen. But you think about the process that happens. A seed, if you look at a seed, it looks lifeless. It looks dead, sometimes ugly, you know, on the outside. But the life is within that seed. But in order for the life to come out, what has to happen? The seed has to, right? It has to be eroded. And it's the elements and the chemicals and the reaction with the water and everything in the soil that will erode that outer shell until it splits. Amen. Simultaneously, also the life or the plant within begins to push, right? Just say, ever watch a chick hatch, you know, it's like watching an egg. They have to also work at the process of breaking out. And I think that's an illustration of our cooperation with God in this whole process too. That God is bringing us through a situation, but we also have to be, you know, wanting to get out of the old life and into the new. We have to break out of what was and into what is, right? The new life in Christ. You have to, as we call it, press in to the Lord. You know, not everything is just handed to us, as you know. There are things that you have to contend for, things you have to wait for, things you have to press into God for. You have to be like the friend that went to his friend at midnight, right, and say, give me a loaf of bread. And he was in bed with his family. He said, go away. I'm in bed with my family. Don't bother me, you know. But he continued to knock and he continued to bother him until finally he got up and gave him what? Everything he needed. And Jesus was giving us an illustration of how we should be when it comes to asking, when it comes to seeking the Lord for answers, even in prayer, you know. I also believe, yes, it's vitally important that we understand the will of God. But just because it's the will of God does not mean it's always going to be easily obtained. Amen? All right? So it can be the will of God, but we also at times have to contend for the will of God. And we are in a battle, as you know, a spiritual war. And so the enemy is trying to shut down the church. He always has. He's tried to snuff out the word of God. He doesn't like Bibles. He wants to get rid of Bibles. And just like it had happened to Russia, there's people that want to do that here. But God's going to decide when that's going to happen, if that's going to happen. Amen. But understand this, that whatever happens to you and I as a child of God is good for us. I didn't say everything was good, but it's good for us. Bad things happen to good people. But God has a way of turning bad things into good things. And so if we hadn't had a problem, we wouldn't know what God could do. We wouldn't know that God could solve it. We wouldn't have, right, answered prayers if we didn't have a problem first. God's ways are not our ways. And this is the thing. You know, we have probably all been in the place, well, if I were God, I would. But we're not God. And God sees the future. And God's looking at the end product. We're somewhere in the process. And we don't always know how God's going to do it, but He did promise that He would finish the work that He began in us until the day of Jesus Christ. So we have confidence in this. Amen. That the Father is wanting us to be willing vessels to cooperate with Him. And so the things that are happening in our lives and the things that are happening to God's people around the globe, amen, are not always good, but they're good for us in that in eternity there will be a reward for those who have been faithful martyrs, those who have endured throughout the end. Amen. And they will receive the crown of life. Hallelujah. So let's take a look at this in verse 8, Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. And to the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. You know, this is really, think about it, a comfortable way to confront those who are faced with this threat of death every day. To say, listen, I am the one who was and is to come. Amen. I was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. In other words, you also don't have to worry about the body they can kill, like Martin Luther said, right? But they can't take your soul. Amen. If our soul is in Jesus Christ, amen, our souls are secure in the Lord. The only thing they can do is kill the body. And he said, I know your works in verse 9, your tribulation, your poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. So the Lord is telling his suffering saints that he sees it all. He's fully aware of their tribulation. So by outward appearances, they were poverty stricken. But when it came to spiritual things, they were rich indeed. Amen. Because he says here that I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. Amen. So they might have been impoverished in the natural, but spiritually they were rich towards God. And the saints of Smyrna, again, they were being bitterly attacked also by the Jews, by certain Jews. And these Jews had claimed, of course, to be God's chosen people. But by their behavior, they showed that they were actually a synagogue of Satan. Now, think about this. All of us, regardless whether we're Jew or Gentile, are born in Adam, amen, born in sin. So we're already, we've been talking about this, right? We're already born as children of the devil in that sense. The Adamic nature, amen, is really unredeemable. God makes us into a new creation, amen. He doesn't patch up the old thing. You can't improve upon the old, all right? So just because someone by heritage or by birth happened to be Jewish, it didn't automatically make them a child of God. Remember, Jesus confronted the Pharisees with that. He said, you are of your father, the devil, right? And the works that he does, you do. And because, again, they were in Adam, they weren't aware that they needed to be born again until the Lord revealed that to them. And so they thought within themselves that they were righteous. But yet again, I thank God that he turns on the light and shows us our own unrighteousness, so that we might come to him for righteousness. True righteousness comes from the Lord. He is our righteousness. Amen. So I am righteous in the righteous one, but not in myself. I don't put my faith in my ability to be good, because God is my goodness. Amen. And in that I rest. Hallelujah. I don't have to fight, struggle, or strive to be good enough. I just accept the fact that God has made me righteous because of the blood of Jesus. Amen. I've been accepted into the Beloved. Hallelujah. And because of his love that he's demonstrated to me, it's my joy and my privilege to give myself back to him for his service. Amen. And to partner with him in what he wants to do now. So he said, those who say they are Jews and are not, verse 9, but are a synagogue of Satan. And of course, this is not speaking of the Jewish nation in general, right? But it's really focusing on the legalizing Judaizers in that time. There was a movement where they were mixing, you know, the law and grace together, you know, trying to tell people that they had to observe all these rules and these regulations, plus believe in Jesus. And because of that, there was a confusion. And whenever you try to mix the two together, now think about this. There's only one way we're justified, and that's in the Spirit, right? By the grace of God. Okay, so does that mean that I don't obey God? I don't need to obey God? No, right. So what does that mean? I mean, how does that work? How does the law and grace work together? Does it work together? Does mercy and truth agree? Yes. Yes, they do. But it's only working together in who? In Christ, who is the Word. Amen? So when we come into covenant with Jesus, amen, the Spirit of the Lord comes to dwell within us. That law is now written on our hearts by the Spirit. Amen. So now we live by the Spirit. Amen. And not by the written law, if you will, on tablets. In other words, in myself, Paul said, I find no good thing. I'm not able to produce the righteousness that the law demands. And so my righteousness is in Christ. And when I'm in Christ, He works in me both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So I start to desire the things that please God. And I hate the things that grieve His heart. Amen? That's a sign that you're in Christ, that you're born again. And so another word for this was the Galatianism. Galatianism. This is where men tried to dilute the grace of God with legalism and ceremonialism. And here we see in Galatians 1, verse 6. Remember, Paul was rebuking them. He said, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. That word accursed means anathema. It means to be banned or excommunicated. Banned or excommunicated. So what is he saying? There was one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Amen. There's one gospel. Hallelujah. There's one message of Christ. And yet we have different Jesuses being presented today. People want a Jesus that fits them. They want a fashion of God to suit themselves, right? It's called idolatry. And so I want to know the true Jesus. How about you? Amen. We want to know Him, and through the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures, we can come to know, amen, the true Jesus. Because you cannot know Him, I cannot know Him, except by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to us, amen, so we can know the true Jesus. And then when we hear a different gospel or a different spirit, you know, speaking, a different Jesus being presented, then we can identify it and say, there's something wrong here. This is not agreeing with my spirit and with the revelation of the Word of God, the Scripture. Amen? So, accursed. Anathema, that means that they would actually be banned or excommunicated by God. This is serious business, you know. People think that doctrine's not that important or what we teach isn't that important. Oh, well, we just kind of get along and just one big happy family. Well, you know, you need to be careful, because when you speak on behalf of God, you need to be speaking as if you're speaking the very oracles of God, as if God Himself is speaking through us. Amen. So we have to be in agreement with the Holy Spirit. We need to stay tight with Him. And I pray, God, put a guard on my mouth that I say nothing foolish or stupid or anything contrary to the revelation that You've given of Yourself, you know. So I'm presenting Christ, the true Christ, the true Jesus. Amen. And you know, there's so much confusion even, isn't there, out there about who Jesus really is. And there's so many denominations and so many factions and groups and cliques and, you know, and all claiming to have their true way. I think we need to get back to the basics. Get back to simply knowing Jesus, amen, and making Him known. Satan's synagogue. You know, isn't it true that Satan will use brethren that, you know, claim to be followers of his to oppose the work of God? We see it, don't we? We see it in the church. People that come in with agendas, usually selfishly ambitious, you know, maybe looking for a following after themselves rather than Christ. sometimes unknowingly and other times deliberately, you know, coming in to try to shipwreck a fellowship or a church gathering. So we need to be careful that we're builders together with Christ, amen, and not destroying the work of God. I think we've all made mistakes. God has grace for that. We learn as we grow up in Him. when you're a new Christian, especially, you may be really zealous and excited. But, you know, we're still, and I'm still in the process of learning, amen. But as you're growing in the Lord, you're going to make mistakes. But you learn from that, amen. If you have a humble heart, a teachable spirit, God can work with us, amen. And He can bring correction. I don't know about you, but there's been many times I've been fully convinced about something, that I was right about something, and found out later on I wasn't so right about it. And are we willing to take responsibility for that? You know, and say, yeah, you know what, I was in error, I made a mistake, I thought I was right, but I wasn't. That takes a lot of humility to do that, doesn't it? To admit that when you're wrong. And well, guys, I don't want to fool myself, and we're certainly not fooling God, right? You know, this church, this particular church, Smyrna, Jesus did not bring correction to this church. So it was apparent that they had not given into this satanic deception. But He was warning them, you know. And He's also, He was commending them in a way that they were able to identify, you know, those who claimed to be Jews who were not. And who is a true Jew? Well, it tells us in Romans 2, verse 28. There is national Israel, amen, but there's also spiritual Israel, which is the church. Romans 2, 28, for He is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but He is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God, amen. So, we can pride ourselves in our heritage and where we were born and what nation we're a part of, you know. But what really matters is that we are a new creation. And what God has done is He's brought the middle wall of partition between us, the Jew and Gentile, right? He brought it down. And He brought the two together in one in Christ. Jew and Gentile. There's no longer Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, male nor female, but all are one in Christ Jesus. Amen? So a Jew, a true Jew, is one who has been converted in her heart, who has been born of God's Spirit. Amen. So we're all brethren through faith in Jesus Christ. Okay. Now, they were not to fear. Now, this is a thing, guys. I don't know about you, but there's times when fear can grip me, just as anybody else. And sometimes we wonder about what's going to happen in the days to come. At least I do. I have to be careful not to get caught up in that funk, amen, and allow the enemy to get me into a place of fear. But there are times when I am concerned about what things that are happening and wondering, what is this going to look like in a very short period of time? You know, the way they're acting, the way they're talking, what they're doing even in this nation right now. But the Lord is giving this church, listen, comfort. He's counseling. He's just saying, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And you know, that's how many times how many times did He say it? 365 times, didn't He? Do not be afraid, and throughout the Scripture. So we know that perfect love casts out fear. So just to say, you know, you can't, just because you have a bumper sticker on the back of your pickup that says no fear, doesn't mean you live without fear. Amen. I think everybody has a certain level of fear. I think if you have any common sense, you have some fear. That you don't just walk across the street without looking both ways. That's a healthy fear, right? We're being cautious, all right? But we're not so fearful that we're paralyzed by it or we're being controlled by the fear. Instead, courage is you and I controlling fear. It's not a lack of fear, but it's you and I mastering it or controlling fear. And so courage can be a good thing. You know, actually fear can energize you. And if you take courage, you can funnel it in a positive direction. You've been in a fight? So, they weren't to fear any of those things that they were going to suffer. The Lord had told them, you know, they would soon suffer. In verse 10, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He's saying that some of them are going to what? They're going to be imprisoned and tested by tribulation for 10 days. Now, I looked this up in McDonald commentary. This time period may refer to 10 literal days, to 10 distinct persecutions under the Roman emperors who preceded Constantine, or to 10 years of persecution under Diocletian. So the believers were encouraged to do what? To be faithful until death. In other words, they needed to be willing to die rather than renounce their faith in Christ. Because if they were faithful to the end, they would receive, right, the crown of life. And this is a special reward for martyrs. The crown of life. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. There are different levels of persecution. We'll talk about that. But if we're living a life that is pleasing to God, we're not going to fit in. Amen? We don't fit the mold. That old mold has been broken. Amen? We've got a new normal now. And so people that are still in the old mold, they're not going to understand you and your new mold, right? And so the church was instrumental. This church of Smyrna was instrumental in bringing the word of God to all of the Roman Empire. And history tells us, in the 2nd and 3rd centuries, the Smyrna church members were fed to the lions at Rome while multitudes cheered. And this went on for 10 years. 10 years. Can you imagine that? For 10 years, they were being thrown to the lions while the crowds cheered. You know, we're not far off from that today again, are we? With the bloodlust and... The early church was hunted down in caves and forests. They were tortured, burned, thrown to wild beasts. And altogether, the early church went through 10 periods of persecution. That could be the 10 days he was talking about. Under various Roman emperors, as many as 5 million may have been martyred during this era. It was referred to as the Dark Ages. And yet the church actually grew and flourished during this period. Isn't that interesting? And as I said earlier, persecution often brings us believers together where minor pet doctrines are not that important anymore. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. Now thanks be to God who always, not sometimes, always leads us in triumph in Christ. There's the key. As we abide, as we continue, the Lord grants us the grace sufficient to meet any trial, anything that comes our way. God's grace is sufficient, amen, for us. He can help us. He will strengthen us. He will help us through every situation we face. Trust in the Lord, amen, with all your heart. And it says, through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. You know, as the church was scattered abroad, you know, the gospel spread. You know, we're prone to kind of like just want to huddle up in one location, you know, have a mega church. But God was always dispersing his people and moving them out. And, you know, you can do it deliberately or in other ways we can be dispersed, you know. Now, remember back in, I think it's Genesis 11, where they were building the Tower of Babel, right? And it was man coming in together in the name of man, independent of God. You know, and they were going to make a name for themselves. And they didn't want to worship the God of heaven. So God had to intervene, right? Because man continually gets more wicked as he congregates, you know, independent of God. That's what we see happening in our cities, you know, even across our nation, even sometimes smaller places now, where people are getting more and more wicked. Wherever people refuse to bow their knee to Christ, wherever they refuse, amen, to yield to the Spirit of the Lord, when they rebel against God, then they're given over to their own devices, their darkened minds, amen, are opened up to all kinds of evil. And any one of us are capable of indescribable evil if we allow ourselves to go there. Because you and I naturally were born with the knowledge of what? Good and evil. Therefore, we can choose to do good or evil. And if a person allows their imagination to go in the direction of evil, it can just become unspeakable. Amen. And so God in his mercy will sometimes just intervene in situations and break it up. To where people are taken into a situation where they've never been before, to where they learn that I'm going to have to depend on someone bigger than myself now. That man is not all that powerful. He's not as powerful. He's not as big as he thinks he is. How many know the governments, amen, are nothing to God? I know they think, well, if we can just get big enough, we can tell, you know, we can become God. No, that's not going to happen. It doesn't matter how big the government is God of the nations. Amen. He's Lord over all. He's sovereign Lord over all the earth. And he raises up kings and he brings kings down. So what we need to do as a people is to pray for this government. Amen. That this government gets saved. Amen. That God intervenes, that there's going to be a great awakening and the veil is going to come off their eyes and they're going to realize that they're not God, but he is. And I believe that God is intervening right now. I believe that God is exposing. Amen. I believe that God is bringing conviction on many, and many people are starting to realize that, you know what, this is not what I want. I don't want Satan. I don't want oppression. I don't want slavery. Amen. I want to be a free moral agent. Amen. Who's able to make my own choices. But sometimes, guys, we have to get a dose of it. Amen. And a good dose of it until we realize that, hey, that's really not what I want. The devil made you think that's what you wanted until you start to get it. Then you're like, oh, no, no, I don't want that. But that's a good place to be. People need to be humbled. To realize what we need is God and our nation again. We need to become one nation under God again. Amen. That's the only way we're going to be indivisible with liberty and justice. Hallelujah. But we're not to fear persecution. You know, the psalmist said in 118 verse 6, Psalms 118 verse 6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Hebrews 13:5, and this is where Paul quoted, or the writer of Hebrews. There's a debate as to who actually wrote Hebrews, right? But don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Right? So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. So I will have no fear. Now, notice it says we will say with confidence. We will say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. When you're faced with a situation, you know, that may look bleak or uncertain, start to say, the Lord is my helper. Amen. The Lord is my rock. He's my sword. He's my shield. The Lord is my strong tower. The Lord is my healer. Amen. We call and we speak what God is. Amen. And I will say, the Lord is my helper with confidence. I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? If we understand, guys, that we're all people, it doesn't matter what our title is, what position in government people hold, amen, they're just people. They're all man, amen? And like Jacob was considered a worm, right? Was that right? Or was that David? David said, I'm a worm, yeah. Was it Jacob? In Psalm 51. So, but think about it. Naturally, you know, we're corrupt, you know. Naturally, we can't please God. And we can't do anything of any eternal value, naturally. And we have to know that. And we have to realize that everything that we have is a gift from God. The grace, the abilities, it's a gift from God. And we've been entrusted with a stewardship. So, when we look at people, we need to realize, amen, it doesn't matter how famous they are, or how good looking they are, or how much money they have, or what kind of car they drive. At best, man is corrupt apart from God, amen. We're all corrupted. We're born that way. Some people just know how to paint really well. You know what I'm saying? Airbrush works really well. I do it every morning, but no. But you know, you can paint the barn, but it could still be rotten wood underneath, you know. I heard somebody say one time, it's like putting lipstick on a pig, right? It's still a pig. But there's nothing wrong with being presentable, amen, and looking nice. And there's nothing wrong with that. The problem is that people are putting on a facade often, you know, because they're trying to cover up what they know is really going on the inside, which they don't know what to do about. And true inner beauty is Christ in you. Amen. And He makes us beautiful. And so that's the part of us that we want people to see. Amen. We want to present Christ to people. We want to see the glory of God. So, I will not fear man is what he's saying. What can man do to me? Well, the worst that can happen is man can kill you, right? And, that's not a pleasant thought either, is it? But what if we're faced with that? What if it comes down to that? What happens? Will we stand? Yeah. And, I've often heard it and I've said it, but I wonder what I would do in a case like that. Have you ever thought about that? Sure. Yeah, we've all thought about that. Well, I believe, guys, that God has grace. Amen. Martyr's grace. If it comes down to it, if you will rely upon Him, call upon Him, if it ever comes to it, God will give you the grace to do what's right in that situation if you trust Him, if you call on Him. Amen. And I want to just say this, that it's very important that we submit ourselves to the discipline and the dealings of God, because He's trying to condition us and strengthen us and prepare us, all right, for what is up ahead in our journey. I'm not predicting that we're going to be martyred. I'm just saying is that God takes us through a series of tests. Amen. He takes us through a process to develop and strengthen us. And guys, sometimes we can be so wimpy. And I think the church in America has been, let's face it, pretty wimpy. Where we just get bent out of shape over spilled milk. You know? But I think God wants His people to be strong. He wants to toughen us up. He wants to develop us in our spirit. And I even believe that this last year, in some ways, has been good for us. Because many have learned to lean on the Lord more for peace. When we listen to the news and we listen to the false reports, don't pay too much attention to that. Amen. But when you look around and you see what's happening in the world and you hear these reports of wars and rumors of wars and all these things and that are happening, you know, if we're not careful, we can just lose our peace. We can lose our joy. We can lose our victory if we start to look at those things. And in a sense, I guess I live in denial because it works for me. Go to the happy place with Jesus, you know, and think about it. You have to compartmentalize your life. You have to sanctify the Lord God a part in your heart. Join together with Jesus in your spirit. And that's where you're going to find your shalom, your peace, and your wholeness, and your completeness. And so it's not in, constant distraction and entertainment and all these other things that people are using to try to keep their mind off things. There's nothing wrong with that, but that can very easily become an obsession to where that becomes your refuge rather than the Lord Himself. And God is our peace, isn't He? The Lord is our peace. So, in a sense, it's been good because I think many of God's people, even in America, have been strengthened through this. And it's also woke us up, amen, to where, hey, we need to pray. Hello. We need to get serious, amen, and pray for our nation and pray for our leaders and pray for the situation that God would intervene and turn it around. And you know what? I think God is. And I think God will. And I'm believing that. I'm believing that God is and that God will and that He's going to turn this around. There are things in motion right now. Things are happening. There's like all these streams, amen, of positive things that are happening simultaneously. They're streams, but they're starting to turn into rivers. And I'm believing that all these things are going to converge, amen, and a great hallelujah deluge of exposure of truth, that people are going to wake up and realize how they've been duped, how they've been lied to. Amen. I'm praying for justice in America. Amen. That God will intervene with His justice. But guys, no matter what happens, we need to be ready. We need to be prepared, amen, to meet the Lord. And if the Lord would move on your heart, I believe in making some common sense provision too. Amen? The prudent man sees the danger coming and does what? He prepares himself. Yeah. So, you know, God told Noah to build the ark, right? He told Joseph to store up for 7 years, right? So likewise, I think we also need to ask the Lord, Lord, what should I do? All right. Practically speaking, that's in agreement with what you want me to do, because how many know that heaven and earth work together? It's not all this is going to all materialize. And, you know, God can do that. You know, God can bless, amen, loaves and fishes, amen, and multiply them. If that's all you've got. But if God's been telling you to do something and you're not listening, are you hearing me, somebody? Right? We do what we can. Amen. I say this, and have you heard it before, but prepare as if you have 100 years, but live your life as if you have one day. If the Lord comes, we're ready to go. Either way, no U-Haul's going to heaven anyways, right? Heaven and earth are going to pass away, but the Word of God will not. God's truth prevails. God's plans will succeed. He will be glorified in all the earth. The whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That day is coming when Christ will reign. Hallelujah. So in the meantime, we need to keep a steady gaze, a steady course. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Pray. Amen. Be in the Word. And be about the Father's business. Keep yourself occupied with what Jesus is doing. Come on. Partnering with Him, amen, so you're not just getting bogged down and caught up in all the drama that the world's all worried about. You know, we need a little dose of hopium. The Lord is our hope, isn't He? Hallelujah. I'm not talking about fake stuff. I'm talking about the real. Amen. The Lord is the one who comforts our hearts, who gives us peace. But again, these things are good because they drive us closer to the Lord. And then we grow. We get stronger because you're strong as you're close to Him. And if we drift away, then we become weak. Amen. And we become vulnerable then to the worries and the fears. And I mean, why do people lose their mind? Is because they have lost their hope. You know, and they haven't learned how to lean on the Lord for their provision, you know, of peace. Now, Jesus said in John 15:20, remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. And so persecution, as you know, comes from Satan. But he works through human beings. All right? He works through man's sinful nature. And that can go for any of us if we're not careful. Persecution comes in many forms. Amen? It could be slander. It could be ridicule. False accusations. Discrimination. Imprisonments, beatings, torture. Even to death sometimes, you know. But it comes in different forms. If you're living for God and you're living for the Lord, amen, you got to expect that you're not going to be that popular with the world. Wasn't it Jesus that said, woe to you when all men speak well of you? Yeah. If everybody likes you, there's probably something wrong. You're too conforming to the world, amen? Well, we're encouraged again to listen to the Spirit's voice, and the overcomer is promised exemption from the second death, not the first death, but exemption from the second death. Amen. Verse 11, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. And I just want to touch on this a little bit again. about this second death. And here's an overcomer as one who proves the reality of his faith by choosing to go to heaven with a good conscience rather than stay on earth with a bad one. The overcomer will not be affected by the second death, which is, of course, the doom of all unbelievers. So there's a natural death, as you know, the first death that we all experience because of sin, because of the sin of Adam. But then there's also the second death for those who remain in Adam and are not found in Christ in that day. Whoever's name was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be what? Cast into the lake of fire. This is what? The second death. Revelation 20:14. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, how do we overcome? If I'm going to be an overcomer, how do I overcome? Here we go again. 1 John 5:4. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. What is the victory that overcomes the world? Even our faith. Amen. Revelation 21:6. Faith who? Faith in God. Amen. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There it is again. Hebrews 12:2. Here's the key. Ready? Looking unto Jesus, the author and our finisher, and the finisher of our faith. He went before us. He made the way. Alrighty? He's there. Amen. Before the throne. Hallelujah. Ever living to make intercession for us. We have an advocate with the Father. Amen. We have a great intercessor, a great high priest representing us. We can call on the Lord. We can come boldly, confidently to the throne of grace. Everything we have need of is provided freely through Christ Jesus. Amen. He is the strength of our lives. I can do all things through Christ, right? Who strengthens us. And who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him, Jesus, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. It is important that we're deeply rooted in the Word of God. And we learn to trust him in every circumstance, back to the day-to-day things, amen, that we encounter, that the trials along the way. They're there, amen, to promote us and to make us strong. And so through it all, like the old song says, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. I've learned to depend upon his word. God is a promise keeper. He's faithful to his people, and he's faithful to his word. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Amen. 2 Peter 3:18, I finished with this. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. So what a wonderful promise, you know, the Lord has given to us, those who are faithful, even to the point of death, because he's going to give them the crown of life. That's eternal life with him. Hallelujah. Revelation 22:7, behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who what? Keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. So let's learn, be wise. Amen. Receive the word. Hallelujah. Receive the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, make us wise. Father, give us strength. Give us help from above. Father, strengthen each one of us by your Spirit in the inner man. Lord, make us bold. Baptize us with your Holy Spirit and refine us in your fire. Make us holy. Make us ready for you, Lord. Prepare us for every good work. Lord, direct our steps each day. Reveal to us your will, Lord. Show us the way, Lord, we may walk in your path, Lord. As you lead, Lord, we'll follow you.